Venerable religious and dear parishioners, I would like to speak to you today about the Sacred Heart of Jesus. You might say that today is the perfect Sunday to do it because it's within the octave of the Sacred Heart. In other words, we just had the Feast of the Sacred Heart last Friday. And this whole month of June is dedicated as a devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And surely this is one of the most appealing devotions in our holy Catholic faith. You know, sometimes we feel the burden or the challenge of being a Catholic. We find it difficult to practice our faith for one reason or another. Or maybe we're going through hard times. Maybe going through a lot of temptation, a lot of trials, a lot of difficulties. And then we hear that phrase, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And we know the heart is the symbol of love, and it gives us hope, it gives us joy, it gives us consolation. It reminds us that God not only loves us with a divine love, which is of course infinite and all-sufficient in itself, but He also loves us with a human love. Right now, as your heart is beating, and that could easily be determined, of course, if somebody was going to do, you know, check your vitals, they would just put a finger on your pulse. Yep, heart is beating. Just as your heart is beating right now. If it didn't, you'd be dead, or soon would die. Just as your own heart is beating, the Sacred Heart of Jesus is beating. It's going to be that way for all eternity. Jesus did not abandon His human body once He finished His work on earth and went back to being the pure spirit that He was before that. We know as an article of faith, as a dogma of our faith, that He ascended into heaven. That means body, soul, divinity. Once He took on a human nature, He was never going to give it up. And that's one of the most astounding things upon which to meditate, that God became one of us and will never stop being one of our human race. So we say, Sacred Heart of Jesus. What do we mean when we say the Sacred Heart? Well, we mean the person. It's, as I said earlier, a symbol of love. I mean, what does everybody put on the card on Valentine's Day? Big red hearts. We feel love here, so we exhibit that in art form. Sometimes see this as graffiti. You know, two hearts together. So Jesus knew, of course, all of this, of course, and He gave us His Sacred Heart to be a symbol of His infinite love as the God-man. And what an ocean, an infinite ocean of inspiration that is, to know how much God loves us. But it's not just a symbol. The Sacred Heart is in and of itself adorable. Because we adore the entire human person of Jesus Christ. His human body and soul is united to His divinity and it's inseparable. That's the way it's going to be for the rest of eternity. And so we adore Christ. His Sacred Heart is adorable in and of itself. It's not just a symbol. Now, this devotion was not widely understood or practiced in the first 15 centuries of the Church's history. I mean, not that it was denied. Of course not. But it wasn't brought to the consciousness, you might say, or to the forefront of Catholic thinking, of Catholic practice. So this was a devotion that became more prevalent in modern times, and by modern I mean the last 200 or 300 years. It's a devotion for our time. And it came about at a time when the Jansenist heresy was emphasizing too much the justice of God to the detriment of understanding the mercy of God. The Jansenist idea of God was the unbending, unyielding, unmerciful judge. You did wrong, you're going to be punished. The Jansenists even believed in the form of predestination, that no matter what some people did, it was hopeless. They were going to go to hell. They were predestined for that. And of course, that is an open contradiction to the teaching of Scripture that God wills the salvation of all men. Not all will be saved. Many, many will be lost. But they weren't created for that. They were created for heaven, and by their own unfortunate choice of sin, they're going to remove themselves from the opportunity of salvation. But whenever we think of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we think of how our Lord loved sinners. There was that one time when the sons of thunder, John and James, went to evangelize a town, and they were rejected. And they were so indignant, they went back to Jesus, "Lord, shall we call down fire and brimstone from heaven to destroy those ungrateful wretches, those people that rejected your message?" They were fully expecting Jesus to say, "Yep, do what I did at Sodom and Gomorrah. Let the heavens rain down and reduce those sinners to a smoldering heap of rubble." They were thinking of the justice of God, which was more prevalent in the Old Testament. And they got an entirely different answer from Jesus. "You know not of what spirit I am. The Son of Man came to save that which was lost." There's the Sacred Heart in action. Working overtime, you might say, to save sinners. Now we must remember that God in no way condones sin. Our modern world wants us to think that God approves of sin. He can never approve of sin. But He does love the sinner. That was the complaint, as we read in today's gospel. Let's hear it again. Luke chapter 15. "At that time the publicans and sinners were drawing near to Him to listen to Him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" How horrible. He's allowing Himself to be tainted by those wretches. Now, what we have to understand here is, was Jesus condoning any of the sins of the publicans? They're gouging the Jewish people, overtaxing them. Was Jesus approving of that? No. Was Jesus approving of any stealing, theft, fornication, adultery, idolatry? No, Jesus will never. He cannot. He is God. But does He love sinners? He loves them more than we will ever understand. I mean, just think of your own lives, my dear brethren, especially if for a while you strayed from God. You lived in sin, in a state of sin. And then you came back. You repented. You will be praising God forever in heaven, as long as you keep persevering, that He didn't chastise you, that He didn't end your life when you were in an unrepentant state. Because of the infinite love of Jesus for sinners, He knew that you would seek repentance, that you would seek to be reconciled with God, and He had mercy on you. I believe it's Psalm 88 begins, "The mercies of the Lord I will sing forever." None of us can say, "I've earned heaven perfectly. I've never offended God." No. We're all a bunch of sinners who have offended God more or less. Have mercy on me, a sinner, O God. And thank you, O Sacred Heart of Jesus, for the mercy that you have shown to me over and over again. You know, God forgives us our sins, but He never condones them. We must never fall into a pattern of sinning, go to confession, go back to those sins, go to confession. No, we have to change. We must never abuse the mercy of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Does that mean we guarantee ourselves perfection when we go to Holy Communion? No, we know we can't. But we have to make real and serious efforts to overcome sin. We have to change our lives. And if you're struggling with some issue, problem, or sin you can't overcome at the moment, keep pleading for mercy from the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Keep trusting Him. Keep going to Him. He came to save us poor sinners. Again, listen to the words of today's gospel about, you know, how much does He care for poor sinners? He'll leave the 99 just, the 99 sheep who are behaving as they should. He'll go after the one that's lost. There's hope for every black sheep out there. The woman rejoicing when she finds that one drachma that was lost. And our Lord says, these are His own words, "I say to you, there will be joy among the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Another part of devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is the idea of reparation. And this is something we have to understand. The Church teaches us this. The popes have explained it. And let me give you an analogy. If a husband knows that his wife was insulted, mistreated, isn't he going to do everything he can to help her make her feel better, to, in a sense, atone for those that did that, those bad things to her? Or it could have happened, some bad things could have happened to the husband, and the wife is trying to console him. Or it could even happen that the husband or wife greatly offended the other. What needs to be done? Reparation. You have to console that person who was offended or outraged or had insults or injury inflicted upon them. If the husband or wife didn't care about one another in that situation, how can they say the love is truly there? Of course they would. It's the same thing with our Lord. He is daily outraged by sin. He is daily outraged by indifference. He is daily neglected by thoughtlessness. His human creatures stray from Him, leave Him, and so often insult Him, hurt Him by breaking His law. And we do it too. Hopefully not in serious ways, but even in our venial sins or faults, we offend the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So there has to be, as long as there will be sin in the world, there will have to be atonement, reparation, doing something. The husband who brings flowers to his wife, who does extra things for her, he is giving her reparation, you might say, for the unfortunate things that happened. It's part of love. How can you love and not do reparation? They go hand in hand. It's the very expression of love itself. And my dear brethren, if there is anything in it for us, you might say, to practice devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, Jesus gives us these wonderful promises, 12 promises that were given through St. Margaret Mary. They're not listed in the bulletin this week, but we'll be sure to have them next week. And I would advise you during this month of June, meditate on those promises of all that Jesus keeps pouring out. He says, I'll give you the graces necessary. I'll give you peace in your families. Is your family suffering from lack of peace? He'll give you peace. He will console you in all your troubles. He will be your refuge in life and in death. On and on and on. Meditate on it. Think about it. We have to let these truths not just sit in front of our eyes. They've got to get into our hearts and into our minds. We have to ponder them. What does that mean? Let it sink in. That's what meditation does. We don't meditate enough, my dear brethren. We don't let these great truths sink in. Need to be like a sponge, just soak it up. So the Sacred Heart will give you far more than you can ever give to the Sacred Heart yourself. So what a wonderful devotion we've been given. It's always been there and it will be there forever because the Sacred Heart will exist eternally. Let us go to Jesus and remember that His Sacred Heart will always be the refuge and the help that we need throughout anything and anything that could happen, everything and anything that could happen in this life. The Sacred Heart of Jesus and, of course, the Immaculate Heart of Mary will be there for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.